America and around the world. Welcome to the Voice of America's Veterans Program, Veterans Radio. And now here's your host for today's program, former Chief Warrant Officer, 195th Assault Helicopter Company, Republic of Vietnam, 1969, and former CB Chu Lai, 1966, Republic of Vietnam, Dale Thronberry and Gary Lilly.
Good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio, the voice of America's veterans, and we are broadcasting live from the studios of WDEO-AM.
It's live, baby, it's live.
In Ann Arbor, Michigan, and on the Internet, of course, for those of you listening at veteransradio.net. Welcome to an incredible program today. Our whole crew is here this morning. Joining me in the studio is Gary Lilly. Gary, welcome.
CB, can do.
He has a very limited vocabulary in there.
CB.
Don't know much. But anyway, Gary, thanks for coming in. Bob Gould is running the board.
Stand in the door, baby.
101st Airborne. And we've got so much to cover today, we're going to probably have to jump right into the program. We're going to be talking about the Military Writers Society of America is going to be announcing their nominees for their awards today. We have Jerry Yellen on the program later on to talk about, he's a member of the Military Writers Society of America, and we're going to be talking about his book of War and Weddings and his second book, The Blackened Canteen, and I'm really excited to talk to him. But first of all, each week on Veterans Radio, we try to promote an event that people are doing around the country to honor veterans and those on active duty in the military. And joining me on the air right now is, I'm hoping, is Bobby Matthews, who is from the We Do Care program. And Bobby, welcome to Veterans Radio. Bobby?
Well, he's supposed to be on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't hear him. Let's try. Maybe we can try to reconnect somehow.
Okay. All right. Well, go right into the EMU. Hmm?
Well, okay. Let's do that.
Dog's going up today.
He is. Well, as you said. Veterans, all of you active duty military, and all of your families, to come on over to Eastern Michigan University, to Ryan Earson Stadium, and to come to our tailgate. We are going to be there from 4 until 7. We're going to be recording a program live between 5 and 6, and we're hoping that you will come out. And there are many benefits to coming. Do you remember what they all are?
I do, I think.
Okay.
This is Gary. We're going to have 100 free tickets to pass out to the Army Eastern Michigan University game, which will follow right after our program. Well, actually, not. We're doing our tailgate at
right,
4 o'clock.
From 4 to 7.
Yeah, so right after the tailgate at 7 o'clock will be the game. We've got 100 tickets to pass out. We're going to have food, drink, and live entertainment.
Yes, Kelly Trudeau is going to be playing, and she's got incredible talent and incredible music and some songs that all of you veterans are going to really love. For those of you that do not get there soon enough, or will not get there in time to get the free ticket, we want to make sure that you can get a ticket for the game for $3. You go through the Eastern Michigan website to emu.edu, it is, and go to tickets and then put in the word veterans.
Cool.
And you get the ticket for $3, a dollar of which will go to benefit the Eastern Michigan University ROTC program. And the website, again, I messed that up a little bit, is emueagles.com, emueagles.com, and click on the tickets link, code word veterans, and you'll get the tickets for $3. You need to do that before game day, and they will have the tickets at the will call office, or we'll arrange to make sure that the tickets are available to you.
The fact that it's a .com and not a .edu, this is for the office of the Veterans Affairs, Veterans Service Office at Eastern Michigan University. Is that right, Dale?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And they're the ones that are sponsoring the event. We're going to have a big tent out there. When you approach the ticket booths at the gates to Eastern Michigan University, look over to the knoll to the left, and you'll see a 20 by 40 foot tent. We're going to be under there, and we want you to come out and say hello. Take a look at us doing a pre-recording for a future program.
That's right. It's a great opportunity. Eastern Michigan is in Ypsilanti, Michigan, for those of you who are not familiar with it. And you will be able to meet us And we're hoping to meet many, many of you. Again, remember, go to emueagles.com to order your tickets. Normally, they're $7 or $9. You're going to get them for $3. They're going to have fireworks, all kinds of acknowledgments to veterans and active duty military. So we're hoping that you will come out and do that. And now, through the magic of technology,
we got it.
Is joining us on the line, I've got him right now, is Bobby Matthews. Bobby, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Dale. How are you doing today?
We're doing fine, thank you. Mr. Murphy showed up for a second there, but we'll take care of him. Bobby, is the, you are the executive director of the We Do Care organization, is that correct?
That is.
Tell us about We Do Care and what you've got coming up.
Okay, great, thanks. So We Do Care is a Illinois 501c3 non-political and grassroots organization, basically founded by concerned citizens in September 2004. And our mission is really to provide tangible opportunities for the American public to show their support to our active duty military personnel, National Guardsmen, reservists, veterans, and their families, while acknowledging and appreciating, you know, the freedom unique to our country. I mean, we believe that while our men and women in uniform are honorably fulfilling their duties, so does every American have a duty to fulfill. And that duty is to show those that wear the cloth of the United States of America that they're clearly supported back home. I mean, we don't want any soldier to ever have to ask, are my families being supported back home? Are they being taken care of? And am I being supported back home, regardless of how you feel politically?
Right. And you've got a big event coming up on the 12th of September, correct?
We sure do. We have our 6th annual Family Freedom Festival, which is free to the public. Then we also have a 9.11-mile Freedom Run, which is being done here in Barrington. And then we have Shadow Runs in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, the Navy base, Eskin Village, Saudi Arabia, and then one of the forward operating bases in Afghanistan.
Wow, this is great. And your event in Illinois is going to be held where?
It'll be held at the Barrington Metro train station parking lot, which is right in the downtown heart of the village of Barrington.
Barrington is in which direction from Chicago?
So it's west of Chicago. So if you came out on I-90, or it's like northwest.
And this will begin when? What time?
So the Freedom Run begins at actually kicks off at 9:11 in the morning, and then the opening ceremonies for the Freedom Festival start at noon with a military color guard posting the colors. We'll have some Gold Star families lay a wreath, and then we usually have a military flyover right at the end of that.
Well, Bobby, we want to thank you so very much for doing this for people. And the organization, again, is We Do Care. And what is the website for that?
It's www.we-do-care.org.
And everybody can go there and find out more information. And that is going to be on the 12th of September. And it's going to begin at around 9:11 is when it kicks off. That's Central Time. And Gary, you had a comment?
Question. Now, you're going to have active duty military family running, and is it open to the public to run?
It sure is. It's open to the public. We actually have a lot of military units will be running in formation, believe it or not. And all those fees are waived for the military. Families are deployed, and then we give veterans and others a 50% discount and stuff. And that's been underwritten by one of our gracious sponsors.
All right. Well, make sure those of you out in Chicagoland, out west in Barrington, registration is at 8 a.m. Make sure you get out there to the Barrington Metro Station, and we'll hope to talk to you again, Bobby, to find out more about your organization, and thanks so very much for what you do.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks to all of our men and women in uniform. We appreciate it.
That.
Airborne all the way.
Stand at the door, baby.
Absolutely. Go Army.
All right. There we go. Thanks very much, Bobby.
All right. Take care. Have a great day.
And you too.
I got to see that running. I wonder if they'll count cadence.
I can only imagine.
Road guards out.
Yeah,
road guards. When's the last time you heard that, boys?
It should be fun. All right. Also, each week on Veterans Radio, we like to welcome back the troops that are coming back from overseas. And, Bob, you're on.
Thank you very much, Dale. Welcome home each week on Veterans Radio. We welcome home servicemen and women who are returning home back to this country after being stationed around the world. We'll be right back. Dateline, New Jersey, about 500 soldiers with the 56th Stryker Brigade Combat Team arrived at Fort Dix, New Jersey. Following a tour of duty in Iraq, their arrival marks the second wave of troops to return to the National Guard of New Jersey. Dateline, Fort Eustis, Virginia. About 130 soldiers from the Fort Eustis and 60 from Fort Story returned home today after completing a 12-month deployment in Iraq. The group assigned to the 155th Inland Cargo Transfer Company at Fort Eustis was responsible for the distribution of bulk cargo that supported 31 forward operating bases. The Fort Story soldiers oversaw a container receiving and shipping point in Balad, Iraq. The unit also worked in an air sustainment cell where it was responsible for the loading and unloading of aircraft cargo. Dateline, Ohio. Welcome home ceremony at the Reynoldsburg Air Force Base is planned to mark the return of the Ohio Army National Guard unit from Afghanistan. About 30 soldiers from the Operational Mentor and Liaison Team 9.1, 174th Air Defense Artillery Brigade, are expected at the ceremony. The unit was mobilized in December of 2008. Its mission was to train and mentor members of the Afghan National Army. Welcome Home is sponsored each week by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. For more information regarding the Marine Scholar Program, visit them online at avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Hey Eagle Nations, this is new Eastern Michigan head football coach Ron English. Join us on Saturday, September 5th for the 2009 home opener as we host Army 7 p.m. at Rynearson Stadium. Tickets are just $9 for adults and $3 for youth. And parking is free at all home games. Tickets can be purchased online by visiting our website, emueagles.com. So get your family and friends and head over to Saturday, September 5th. MU versus Army.
We're back on Veterans Radio with a busy lineup this morning. We're going to be talking with in just a second with the author of War and Weddings, Jerry Yellen, who is a member of the Military Writers Society of America. And in the second half of the program, we're going to be talking with a number of people from that society and listening and learning who their nominees are for their awards this year. And then we're going to end up the program delivering or announcing two large award winners and also going to be talking about the conference is going to be going on in Orlando, Florida in October, October 9th and 10th in Orlando. Veterans Radio will be there to make sure that we're going to do a live program, hopefully, from 9 to 10 on the 10th of October, which will be really exciting. We're very excited to be invited to go down there and to talk to the group. And then we will also be, as I said, having a program on the 12th of September where we will announce all of the winners for the Military Writers Society Award winners. And right now I'm going to be going to our first guest who is not there, quite there on the line yet. And let me introduce Jerry before I get him on the line. Jerry Yellen was born in 1924, completed high school in June of 1941. He enlisted in the Army Air Corps on his 18th birthday in 1942 and graduated from Luke Field in 1943 as a fighter pilot. He was in combat in the Pacific Theater and at Iwo Jima with the 78th Fighter Squadron and participated in the first land-based fighter mission over Japan on April 7th, 1945, and participated in the last mission of the war on August 14th, 1945. He was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross and an Oak Leaf Cluster and the Air Medal with four Oak Leaf Clusters. He was discharged as a captain in December of 1945. We're trying to make contact with Jerry right now, and we're having a little bit of difficulty, it looks like. But let me tell you about what I know about the two books that he has written. The first one that we're going to be talking about is called War and Weddings. And in... I got him. Okay. Here we go. Anyway, welcome to Veterans Radio. Jerry Yellen, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Dale.
Hi, you. Well, we've had, it looks like the gremlins are about today, it looks like. I just introduced you to telling people about what you did during the war and what your job was, that you were a fighter pilot. You flew as an escort, didn't you?
We started out flying escorts of B-29s from Iwo Jima. The first mission was on April 7, 1945, and there were 150 B-29s dropping their bombs on Tokyo. And in June of 1945, the Japanese stopped sending fighter planes up, so after that, we just went up on strafing missions.
Oh, that was... I want to talk about not only your experiences, but let's talk about your book. That's the main reason that we asked you to come on, of War and Weddings. Tell me a little bit about how this idea came about.
Well, 1983... I was asked to go to Japan to talk to the Mitsui Bank Group about investing in American real estate. I didn't want to go. Japan was not a place I wanted to visit, and the Japanese certainly weren't people that I wanted to meet or know. But Helene, my wife of 40-some-odd years at that point, was enamored with Japanese artifacts and screens and gardens, so we went. And... my first experience in Japan, other than flying over it, was in October of 1983. And we got in at midnight, went to sleep in a small hotel, got up in the morning, and I walked out onto the Ginza, which was closed to traffic. And I saw incredibly beautiful people, friendly people. I looked up through the buildings, and I saw the B-29s in my mind's eye, and... they were dropping their bombs on me, and it was a frightening and horrifying experience. And we gave our youngest son, Robert, a graduation present to go to Japan, which he did for 6 weeks. And he went back to Japan in 1984 for a year to work as a teacher, an English teacher. He's listening, by the way, as is my 17-year-old grandson, our 18-year-old grandson, Simon. Second son, and he went back to Japan, and he hasn't come back yet. In 1988, he got married to a young Japanese lady whose father was in the Imperial Japanese Air Force, and we met at the wedding, and we discovered that we had a lot in common as human beings, as people. So I had never spoken about my wartime experiences to any of my children or my wife. I came back to America after the wedding in 1988, and I put my thoughts down. It became the book of War and Weddings. It's a memoir.
I think it's very interesting. You mentioned earlier that you really didn't want to go to Japan because of the adversarial relationship that that you had with them during World War II, and I can think of so many of my parents' age people who did not want anything to do with the Japanese, and then they started meeting more and more people, and they found out that they were just human beings, and, you know, all of us were doing our jobs, let's put it that way. And in fact, one of the partners who was in here earlier, as I mentioned to you, made a trip back to Vietnam and found out that they were a wonderful, warm people, and that,
well,
you know, that it was a country, not just a war.
It's an interesting thing about World War II. From my perspective and my memory, Dale, we fought the war in Europe against Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And we fought the war in Japan against the Japanese people. We were completely ignorant of anything about the Japanese people.
Right.
And knowledge about human beings and not demeaning them. We had to demean every enemy that we ever had in war, and as every country who battles another country demeans their enemy, because we all are human. We all come from the same way, same place. We all share the same intelligence of nature in every one of ourselves. And we just have to hate the guy we're going to kill.
I know, and it's unfortunate, and it's very difficult sometimes for ordinary citizens, and I don't mean ordinary, you know, civilians, to understand that the mindset that you have to get yourself into sometimes in order to go to war. It takes its toll later on. And I just think that your whole story. So let me go back to the story of war and weddings. Is that you go to the wedding of your son and future daughter-in-law, and you meet a Japanese fighter pilot?
No, he was a fighter pilot in training.
Okay.
And when they stopped the training, his entire squadron, other than he and another man, went to kamikaze school.
Oh no!
And he and another man went to China. And they were spent the war in China, the rest of the war.
So this obviously has worked out very well for your son, and for you, sounds like.
Well, it's worked out for more than just us. Mm-hmm. I've been to schools all over the country, and I've been to schools in Hiroshima. And I think I've influenced a few people by telling them my story of healing. I love my Japanese grandchildren as much as I love anybody else in the world. They love me, and what I've discovered in my 85 years of life and having been a warrior is legend has it that David slew Goliath 5,000 years ago with a slingshot and a pebble, and all the progress that we've made in life is we've invented better slingshots and better pebbles.
Right. There's an analogy. I wanted you to, if you could, share with our audience, Jerry. We're talking with Jerry Yellen, who's the author of a great book called Of War and Weddings, and we'll talk about your other book in just a second. But you told me when we were talking earlier in the week about a nightmare that you had.
Yeah, well, I was interviewed in 2005 by National Public Radio in Japan, NHK. And they asked me why I was such a proponent for peace, why I was such a proponent for bringing Japan and America closer together, even though they were very close. And I said, which was in my heart, I said early on in Robert's marriage, I had a nightmare that my American grandchildren were getting into a bomber and flying across the Pacific to bomb Japan, and my Japanese grandchildren were getting into a bomber flying across the Pacific to bomb America, and they crossed in the night, and I couldn't let that happen. So that's really when I started in the early days of Robert's wedding, of marriage, when I started to write Of War and Weddings and tell the story of what happened to me.
I've heard this story before from you, and it still gives me goosebumps. It's such a powerful, thought-provoking thing that you went through, process, and you couldn't help but write it down once you had that dream. And
the most powerful experience that I had in all of this was Mr. Yamakawa and I and a translator went into a ryokan, and we went into the hot bath, and we sat and talked for 3 hours. We spoke about everything that was important. He asked me questions. I asked him questions about race, religion, education, family, everything that he wanted to know about me, including the war. And I asked him the same questions. And when we left, he said in Japanese to the translator that he never knew, as a Japanese man, that there were other people in the world who felt the same way that he and the Japanese people felt about life and everything that was important. We became family. I can't speak his language. Mm-hmm. He can't speak mine. But we look at each other, and we just have been very fortunate because of what I've learned most about life, I've learned from my children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And now I have three productive, wonderful grandchildren living in Japan, three living in America. Our oldest grandson is in Hokkaido University in Japan studying to be a physicist. And Simon, who is listening, is a senior in high school, in an international baccalaureate high school program and doing extremely well. And my 14-year-old granddaughter, of course, daughters are different than grandsons, but she's a member of a pom-pom dancing team that won the national championship.
Well, yeah, every reason to be very proud of your family, and of course your family has every reason to be proud of you. I wanted to get into the other book because I found the review of it just amazing. It's called The Blackened Canteen, and we've got about, unfortunately, we only got about 4 minutes to talk about it, but can you tell me about The Blackened Canteen?
Yes. When I made that statement on NHK, it resonated with a Dr. Sugano, who was 12 years old when a bombing raid of 123 B-29s bombed his city of Shizuoka. And 23 Americans were killed when their two B-29s crashed. And in the wreckage, the man, Fukumatsu Ito, who buried the Americans alongside the 2,000 Japanese, they found a blackened canteen with the handprint of the American owner who was using it when he was killed. And Mr. Ito erected a monument on top of a mountain, and every year has honored, there have been ceremonies honoring the Americans by the Japanese. I went to the ceremony in 2006, and I just had to tell that story, so I started to write The Blackened Canteen, which was published in October 2008. It's a true story of 23 Americans, of a number of Japanese people, but four Americans who were killed in the B-29 crash, and one, Richard Fisk, who was the bugler on the West Virginia, and three Japanese men, Mr. Ito, who buried the Americans, created a monument. Dr. Sugano, who has conducted a ceremony there every year on the Saturday closest to June 20th, and a man by the name of Takeshi Maeda, who dropped the torpedo that sunk the West Virginia. On the 50th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, Mr. Maeda and Richard Fisk met on the Arizona and became friends, even though one guy sunk the ship that the other man was on.
Right, but I mean, just think about the coincidences and the, you know, that go on in the world where you run into people that you knew or that you were fighting against 40, 50, 60 years ago, and that you find out that they're just human beings, just like you.
Well, that's the ugly part of war, and the pure purpose of war from the military is to destroy your enemy as fast as you can, as efficiently as you can, so that somebody on the other side will say, we've had enough. And that's what war is. We're at that today. We're in a war, two wars, where there is no enemy that can say they've had enough. There's nobody on the other side that we're fighting. We're fighting ideologies.
And right. That's a whole other program, Jerry.
It is. But the purpose of life, from my perspective after all of these years, is to connect with all of humanity, to live in unity with all of humanity and harmony with all of nature. It's as simple as that. Everybody needs three meals a day, and someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to. They might speak another language, they might worship another way, but they're all human beings. We all come from the same place and come here in the same way, that nobody comes any differently.
That's so very true. We've been talking with Jerry Yellen, who's the author of War and Weddings and The Blackened Canteen, and these books are available pretty much everywhere, on Amazon and Borders and so forth, and he's also a member of the Military Writers Society of America. And Jerry, I'm looking forward to meeting you at their convention in October, and thank you so very, very much for being on Veterans Radio today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be talking to you again.
Bye, Dale.
Bye-bye, Jerry. We're going to be coming right back. We're going to be talking and announcing the nominees for the Military Writers Society of America Awards. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Major Bud Day's F-100 was hit by ground fire, destroying his hydraulics and putting the plane into a steep dive. Details after this.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Day ejected from his damaged plane. He smashed against the plane and broke his arm in three places. North Vietnamese militiamen captured him when he landed. When he refused to answer questions, they staged a mock execution and then hung him from a rafter by his feet for several hours. On his fifth day in camp, he untied himself and escaped. On his second night on the run, a bomb landed near the sleeping Day, leaving him bleeding from his ears and sinuses and sent shrapnel into his leg. Between the 12th and 15th day, he heard helicopters and stumbled to the sound. The choppers left just before he got to the landing zone. The next morning, he ran into a North Vietnamese patrol. As he limped toward the jungle, he was shot in the leg and hand and captured soon afterward. He was moved to the Hanoi Hilton. His untreated wounds were infected, and he suffered malnutrition. The fingers on both hands were curled into fists as a result of torture. He regained some motion by peeling them back on the muzzles of the guns and began to sing the Star Spangled Banner. The other men, including Admiral James Stockdale, joined him. They were released on March 14, 1973, and President Ford presented the Medal of Honor to both Day and Stockdale on March 6, 1976.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Iraq, Afghanistan, and other qualified veterans, your country needed you. Now the veterans of foreign wars need you. The VFW is not an organization where members sit around and tell war stories. We are advocates for those who serve. We fought for the new GI Bill, and you can be part of our next win. We are your peers, and we want you to be one of us. Your membership is free the first year, so contact Graf O'Hara, Post 423 at VFW423.org. That's VFW423.org.
We're back on Veterans Radio, and right now we're going to be getting into the Military Writers Society of America awards, nominations, and joining me first on the line is going to be the president of the Military Writers Society of America, Joyce Faulkner. Joyce, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This has been fun so far. I really enjoyed talking with Jerry.
Amazing man, isn't he?
He certainly is. Well, Joyce, tell me a little bit about your organization.
Okay, the Military Writers Society of America was founded by Bill McDonnell a few years back, and the idea was that we wanted to be able to support and recognize people who are writing in the military genre. It's a fairly narrow niche, and up until that point, there had been no organization that could focus on that. Since then, we've grown in our range and our perspective significantly, and right now we are focusing on a variety of genres, and we accept about anybody into the organization who feels that our interests and our perspective will help them reach their goals.
Okay.
And the award program is part of that.
Okay. Joining us on the line also with us right now is Bill McDonald. Bill, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, top of the morning from California.
Oh, thank you so very much for getting up so early. So tell me why you, Joyce just mentioned that you started the organization. You are the founder. Are you also a writer?
Yes, I am. I'm an author. I've got several books out there, and I do documentary films and a bunch of other stuff, and I'm a minister as well. And it was my work with the American Authors Association, which I'm the founder of also. We have about 2,000 members in that group, which encompassed a lot of different authors. But we found that there was a group of men at the beginning that were veterans, and, you know, it's... There was groups for mystery writers and groups for thriller writers and fantasy writers and sci-fi fiction and romance writers and all these different groups out there, but nobody was really taking serious the genre of the military. And these veterans were coming back, and I gathered started off with a dozen of them, and we went to Austin, Texas, because the Texas Book Fair that was put on by Mrs. Bush, they didn't make a table for us. They didn't invite us. So I did my own event there, and we had 800 people come. For a dozen writers, which I thought was pretty successful. And from there, it just kind of blossomed, and it grew and became an organization. And we didn't want it just to be an organization, an association. That's why it's called Society, because we wanted a fellowship where people that are patriotic and had common interests, the military, support of the military in particular, could gather and do their thing together. So that's kind of where it went and why I started it. And we've used this program, well, I did, on PBS television a number of years ago. We developed a PTSD program called The Art of Healing for the VA, in which the use of writing memoirs, poetry, art, music, things like this, we're helping veterans get back in touch with themselves and helping to recover and heal much quicker.
Right.
It was all kind of tied in together. So the military writers, yeah, it's writers, but it's also peripherally a lot of other things, all of it in support of the military.
Right. And we've been so grateful to work with you and with Joyce, especially with the military writers. You've obviously have provided me with incredible guests, and my library is growing exponentially. I can't read enough, it seems like, right now. And how many members are in the Military Writers Society?
At this moment, we have around 735 that are participating in one way or another. There are about 350 that are actual active members in any one year. Usually that year depends on if they have a book out that year.
Okay. Well, we're gonna be going into your nominations in just a second, but I want to let everybody know that the first part that we're going to be talking about are your, I want to say general nominations, but in the last segment of the program, we are going to be announcing the Society's Founders Award and President's Awards. So we want to make sure that everybody sticks around for that. And we're also going to be finding out more about your convention in Orlando in October. So right now, as I go, this is more people on the phone than we've ever had. I'm going to be going to, who am I talking with now? Rob. Rob,
hey,
Ballister. That's you, Rob?
That's me. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? And I understand that you are the head reviewer for the Military Society.
That is true. Morning, Bill.
Good morning to you, sir.
Okay, good morning, boss lady. I am the head reviewer. I have about 12 reviewers, all volunteers, that we farm out our members' works to, and we have a review process where we go ahead and read the book and score it and get some feedback to the members and get it up on our site. And at the end of every year, we try to award the best of the best through our award process.
Okay, well, why don't we get right into this and let you announce who your nominees are for 2009.
Okay.
How about a drum roll?
Hold on. How's that? There we go.
Okay, we have 10 categories this year. The nominees are, in the anthology category first, we have three nominees: Home of the Brave by Hess, Where Marines Damn It by Gail Chatfield, and Uncle John's Bathroom Reader Salutes the Military by Uncle John's Press. It's actually an anthology by several authors, one of whom is a member of our society, Andrew Lubin. So that's our anthology category. Moving on to the children's category. We have the Buck Ballo series by Linhart, Memories of Me by Lisa Campbell, You and Your Military Hero by Zitzow, and If I Had a Daddy by Sullivan. And I'd like to comment that these are written, read in no particular order. Okay. So each book will get a clean review when we sit down and do the final awards process. Moving on to the fiction category. We have the first book is The Take by Takix. Second is The Sandman by Lucero. Third is Child Finder by Angley. And fourth is Honor Defended by D.H. Brown.
Okay.
Because we have so many military works that come in, we also have a historical fiction category, a little bit different from our fiction. Fiction would be things like thrillers and mysteries. Historical mm-hmm. fiction would be something written against the background of something in history, usually in our case some sort of military action.
Okay.
So in that category we have Hollywood Buzz by Margaret Leach, True Colors by Aaron Rainwater, The Final Salute by Rogers, and Virginia's War by Jack London.
The Jack London?
I don't think it's the Jack London. It's another guy who's fortunate enough to have the same name. And
gives him credibility right away.
Exactly. And a similar amount of talent, apparently.
Okay, and next.
Next we have Memoir. Embedded, A Marine Corps Advisor Inside the Iraqi Army by Gray. The Lady Gangster, Memories of a Sailor by Del Staker. Cat Lowe, A Memoir of Invincible Youth by Irwin. And Immeasurable Spirit, Lessons of a Wounded Warrior by LaToya Lucas. I apologize that I don't have all of the first names, but the last name, that'll give us some...
All of these nominees will be up on your website later this afternoon, though. Is that correct, Joyce?
Yes, that's correct. And each person will be notified, too.
Okay. Moving right along.
Moving right along. We have one nominee in the music category, and that's Jeff Jellerson for his CD, Going Home. Then in the nonfiction category, we have Sacred Ground, Tribute to Veterans by Tom Ruck. The Ether Zone, U.S. Army Special Forces Detachment B-52 by Morris. Fire in the Night, Creative Essays from an Iraq War Vet by Lee Kelly. And a Vietnam Trilogy by Scherfield. Okay. Going to poetry. Three nominees in that category. Tears for Mother Earth by Jim Greenwald. Poems of Passion and Songs for the Soul by Jeff Jellerson, the multi-talented Jeff Jellerson, apparently, because he also submitted the CD, and Sugar Zeros and Lemon Drops by Jim Greenwald again. Moving on to our reference category. Strike from the Sea by Thomason, U.S. Air Force Prototype Jet Fighters by Jenkins and Landis, The Book of War by Don Zimmerman, and America's Film Vault by Stewart. And our last category this year is the spiritual/religious category. God in the Foxhole by Sasser. Battlefields and Blessings, Stories of Faith and Courage from World War II by Larkin Spivey. Bible Promises for Soldiers by Barnes, and I Will Never Give Up on God Again by Clark.
Wow, sounds like a great list. We're going to be having that up on their website shortly. We're going to need to take a real quick break. We're going to be announcing the awards for the Military Writers Society for the Founders Award and the President's Award as soon as we come back from our break. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill,
The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.
Bye, 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 bye a bond. And by, the bonds you buy will bring you victory. Bye, bye.
Now we're back on Veterans Radio and we're digging into the vaults of our music.
Hey, you like that one, huh?
Our musical library.
You know who that was? That was Bing Crosby, by the way. Bye, bonds.
Anyway, we are talking with a couple of people from the Military Writers Society. We've just announced their nominees for their awards this year. And right now, we're going to be going back and announcing two of their big awards. And Joyce, I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right. Well, I would like to talk about the President's Award. And for the first time this year, it goes out to two individuals. The award recognizes writing ability, but it's much more than that. MWSA strives to support and recognize our members, and that takes a lot of work. And somebody has to do that work. And this year was a transition year where we're really making some big strides, building on the shoulders of the giants that came before us. And I'd like to recognize two people. The first one is John Cathcart. His book, it's a terrific thriller. It's called Delta 7. And he has donated his time and talents and an unfailing sense of humor to the MWSA. And without our website, that's kind of the core of our communications device. And I was a webmaster before John, and it is a heck of a job. And I'd like to recognize John for that. And he is our first of two President's Award winners. The second one, and unfortunately Rob had to leave, I want to announce that Rob Ballister also has received the President's Award. He's our lead reviewer. He's been a reviewer for many years. He is also our past webmaster. And his book is called God Does Have a Sense of Humor. The key quality that both of these gentlemen share is their ability to bring people together. And as Bill has mentioned before, the whole concept of MWSA is a sense of brotherhood and support and cheerleading and recognition and education and encouragement. And these two people, John Cathcart and Rob Ballister, winners of the 2009 President's Award, embody those particular qualities.
Congratulations to them. And now Bob is going crazy. He wants me to cue him up here. We're going to come back with Bill in just a second for your Founders Award. Hold on just a second. Cue the music. Bill, you're on.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Good morning once again from California.
Good morning.
The Founders Award for the Military Writers Society is like, that's the award that has the most prestige, the most recognition, and this is given by the society and by the founder, that's me, to recognize someone who's written a book or created something that goes beyond just their own personal journey. Even though the book may be about them, it reaches greater issues, and the message is bigger than just about themselves. So it's more universal. It's something that helps heal, something that inspires, something that moves people, something that supports the image and the recognition for veterans in some way. So I kind of consider all these factors into it, not just that it's a good story or just a good memoir, but what's it that's in there for everyone else? What would other people get reading this book? So we try to pick something that is really outstanding. I had 5 books in mind, and I see 2 of those were nominated in another category, which I'm happy to see. But the book I did end up selecting was called Stand To, A Journey to Manhood by E. Franklin Evans. And it really is a journey to manhood. And the way he writes the book, he starts off talking about his good friend from high school getting the news that he got killed in Vietnam and having to deal with that, and then going into the service, becoming an officer and leading his own patrols just a couple years later in Vietnam itself, and how he comes to grips with all these things and how he's under fire at a special forces camp, and a lot of the personal observations and introspections that he makes throughout his journey, and how he looks back, writing this as an adult, he tries to capture his essence of his thoughts and his minds and his feelings back when he was that age. It's a beautifully well-written story, and it's his life story, and it's the kind of story that you read that and you are moved. Some places moved into tears, some places just inspired, some places you might get a chuckle. So it's a real great book. It's called Stand To, A Journey to Manhood, and I'll be presenting that in Orlando, Florida to Mr. Evans, and him in person.
Well, congratulations to all of your nominees, and especially to those 2 winners. And speaking of Orlando, for your conference that's coming up in October, we've got Richard Lowry on the phone right now. And Richard, tell us what's going to be happening in Orlando in October.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
The Military Writers Conference is going to be held here in Orlando from on the 9th through the 11th of October. The main day of the conference is on the 10th. And for details on the conference, if you're interested in learning more about it, you can go to militarywriters.com, and you can see who all the nominees have been and learn lots more about our organization on that site. But at the conference, we're going to have book signings, we're going to have workshops, we're going to have screenings of 2 powerful documentaries, Troopers and the GI Film Festival's award-winning Perfect Valor, that's narrated by Fred Thompson. For information on that film, you can go to perfectvalor.com. And then we're going to have the awards banquet. And the highlight of the conference this year, I believe it was Joyce's idea, is that we have a People's Choice Award that I have been asked to make the presentation for that award. And what we've done, again, you can go to our website and look for the People's Choice Award. We have posted 5 photographs that embody some theme of military service. And we've asked writers and poets and musicians to submit a piece that exemplifies one of those photographs. We're going to judge all those pieces, and we're going to, I think Joyce can correct me if I'm wrong, we're going to limit it to about 10. And once we pick the 10 finalists, Once we pick the 8 finalists, we're going to have a People's Choice Award. And at the conference, people will be able to vote on who they believe is the best entry. They'll also be able to vote online at our website. They'll be able to vote online through Twitter and Facebook accounts from members. And the goal is to get 1 million people voting. And we'll be displaying a total of the votes as they come in at the conference. And then on Saturday night at the awards banquet, we will award the winner of that award. We think that this is going to encourage lots of people to participate in our organization.
and give recognition to artists in our genre as well. So,
right. Yeah, also, I want to make sure everybody knows that we're going to be doing a live show from Orlando on October 10th. We encourage you to do that. We want to thank all of you for being on Veterans Radio today. With some of you will be back on the 12th of September as we announce the winners in all of those categories. And I'm so excited to just to have the military writers on board with Veterans Radio. It sounds like Bill and I have similar goals in the world. There are a lot of radio programs out there, but nothing that was specifically geared toward veterans and military. So on behalf of a happy, happy crew here at Veterans Radio, and for all of you out there, until next week, you are dismissed.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.
Business and individual income tax planning and preparation, QuickBooks training, and payroll services are just some of the professional accounting services available from me, Len Pitlack, CPA. With 30 years of accounting experience and a Washtenaw County business owner myself, I know the business importance of having a sound accounting advisor. Call me at 800-377-7879 and get the answer.